Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Yes, guess who's in studio with us? It's Katrina Lynch. How you doing, Katrina?
It's that time of the week again.
Okay.
It's time to sit down, grab a coffee, put your feet up and say, at least I'm not as bad as her.
That's all.
The rest of the day is good.
That's right. It's not. Tell us your wisdom.
Tell us your wisdom.
Today, okay. We're talking about being a better grandparent and especially at Christmas. And I think that is a humdinger. Obviously, you know, you've gleaned some wisdom in recent years.
Is that what it's called? Experiences.
being a grandparent yourself.
Yes, eight years in. You know, I mean, I only have five, and I wished my eldest grandson, a happy seventh birthday last week. It was his birthday on the 4th of December. He's eight. If I have any more, what's your name today, sweetheart? Oh gosh, God help us. So 8 years' experience.
Brilliant.
You know, brilliant.
And one of the things that you say is about time. So tell us about that.
Okay, well, I suppose one of the things I have learned is time flies. You know, so anybody who is a parent of a couple of years, I know for me, when I first became a parent, that first year was like 19.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, is this thing ever going to sleep?
That's right.
You know, just another three months now, and I can get them on solid.
By a train, really, in that first year, don't you?
But once you kind of get into a rhythm, life just becomes so busy that it disappears. And I suppose what life has taught me is that opportunities don't come that often. And I have realized, you see, that I say, well, of course, look, let me say this first. I do have time now, okay?
Right.
Now, the last thing I want to do is be putting pressure on moms and dads and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. Throwing your hands up in the air saying, oh, well, it's all right for her to talk. So, She's nothing to do it all day long. And that is true, okay? And there was a time when I literally did not have 5 minutes, or at least I felt I didn't have five minutes.
Yeah.
So I do have it now. But there will come a time when you may be running around after your children saying, would you ever spend 5 minutes with me? So when your child asks you for time, and especially your grandchild, we tend to say yes. And I tend to push away the breakfast dishes and sit down and get out a piece of paper and start drawing.
Very good.
You know, because I know I will have time later on to do the breakfast dishes.
Gotcha.
So I am blessed in that sense.
And that is like a special gift to your grandchild, right?
It is. And I think this is one of God's great blessings to family life. And it's probably one of the things we've lost in our society where you know, siblings have to move far apart, and they may necessarily have to move away from the parents.
Sure.
And they don't get the same support, so that when they are busy with other children and job and all that sort of stuff, you have a backup of a grandparent who has a wee bit more time.
That's right. And
who actually can sit down, you know, and grab the kids for an hour and here, look, I'll take them down to Dunn's, or I'll bring them over here, or I'll just sit with them at home and do a bit of drawing or something or other.
Now, what's interesting is the boundary that can arise there. You've got a grandparent who is, if you're lucky enough to have a grandparent who's close by, and that's a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm.
Great as a resource, great as an extra kind of pair of hands, great as a wisdom, great for time, as you describe. But where is the line where you, as a grandparent, don't go over the line and start parenting? And stepping into the place where the parent is, and maybe even, you know, telling the kids to do certain things that maybe the parent isn't so cool with.
Yeah, well, I would caution very much so. Your children, your daughters and your sons have to find their own way. And they are the parent, and I do believe they kind of have a wisdom in a sense. Okay, they don't have the experience, but that's okay. It will come, you know, and they are different people to you. And they also, usually have a spouse.
Yeah, that's right.
And just because you might think this is the way it should be done, and you think your daughter probably agrees with you, or your son probably agrees with you, the other parent may not.
Very good.
That has to be taken into consideration too.
Yeah.
So unless, I would say, unless it's a dangerous situation, or you really feel your child is getting lost, your son or daughter is getting lost in the whole thing and getting overcome by the situation, pretty much keep your as Maureen Potter used to say, and there's people scratching their heads all around the country saying, who in the name of goodness is Maureen Potter? As Maureen Potter used to say, keep your breath to cool your parrot.
Very good. So,
you know, so don't be, you know, you can say it in a gentle way. You can say, I do remember going through something similar.
Yeah, very good.
I found this to be helpful. Yeah. But it doesn't always work and it may not suit you.
So it's like presenting it as an option, but you're not bulldozing them.
Exactly. Yeah. And you need to kind of, you know, let them and offer to help. You know, kind of say, I would be happy to do X, Y, or Z if that would be helpful for you.
Yeah.
But, you know, it may not. Don't be going in saying, do this, do that, do that. Yeah. And one thing I would really caution you to not do, and that is, do not correct your grandchildren in front of your son or daughter.
Yeah, that's their job.
That is their job. Unless it's something really, really dangerous.
Like you're pulling them out of the fire or something.
Or if they pick up a really, really sharp knife and they're running around the kitchen with it. But, you know, it can be, and sometimes as older people, we can get tireder, we can get rottier, you know, or whatever. And something that's actually probably okay.
Yeah.
You know, like screaming their heads.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah.
You know, and it's driving us round the bend. Yeah. You know, it's pretty normal. And
you've forgotten that.
You've forgotten that, you know, because our tape measure on patience gets shorter.
Yeah.
It genuinely does.
It's the old question that we forget to ask ourselves, is it actually wrong or is it just annoying me? And that's very difficult sometimes.
Well, isn't that lovely? Yeah. I think I'll make a poster out of that. Are they doing something wrong? Are they actually just annoying me?
Exactly. Now, we'll finish with this one, but it's the big one, which is, what do grandparents do? They spoil the grandkids. So where's the line there, would you say?
Okay, well, yes, of course, we do spoil our grandchildren. What does spoil mean? It means, I think, doing something extra special that may not normally, you know, be done. And you must do this in conjunction with their parents, okay?
Yep.
Because I put my foot in it majorly. And I remember having my two grandchildren, and my grandson was probably only about 7 or 8 months at the time. It was the summer. I took them to the park and everything. And then we went to an ice cream shop. And I bought ice cream for the two of them. A tiny little thing. But anyway, so, and I took a photograph of my grandson eating this ice cream. All over him, of course. Ice cream back to the two ears. Mm. And my daughter said to me later on, she just said, that was an experience that I didn't have.
Oh, wow.
And I just felt so bad. I never asked her, could he have ice cream or anything at all? But now, that was just something she, you know, that kind of meant something to her. It was coming into the summer. Maybe she was looking forward to, you know, sort of him having his first ice cream or something or other. And I felt I robbed her of that experience. Now, you know, that's just me, and maybe I'm oversensitive or whatever.
But you know what?
You have to be sensitive, though. You have to be sensitive. Yeah. These are their children.
Yeah.
You had your time.
Yeah.
You had the joy of all those things, and you had the sorrow, and you had to grow in patience and all those things, and this is their time for all that too. They have to grow in patience and understanding, and we can help them or we can hinder them. So, you know, let's help, and communication is very important. So I'll finish with that. Brilliant. If you're not sure, if you're not 100% confident, check.
Absolutely. Well done. Katrina, thanks a million. We get to take that with us. Our next guest is involved with a monthly event bringing together those with a faith background and those with no faith for gatherings focused on building relationships and community. And to mark the day of the UK election, they're having a special event tonight in Belfast. And on the line now to tell us more, we have Johnny Clark from Youth of the Mission, YWAM. You're very welcome to the show, Johnny. How you doing?
Thank you, Ronan. Sorry, I'm on a mobile phone. So I hope the signal's not too bad.
Yeah, we're just about making you out. There's no problem. First of all, Johnny, through your work, talk to us about the need you've seen for providing a space for people like on the borders of faith, whether individuals who are maybe curious or interested in learning more and wanting to ask questions.
Yeah, I think that there's a growing number of people who are just not sure where they stand with when it comes to faith and religion. There's a deep desire maybe they have. There's a instinctive kind of resonance with spirituality, but they've become disillusioned or disappointed with through some experience that they've had, maybe in some kind of church, whether it's whatever, whether it's Catholic, Protestant, Evangelical, whatever. But there's still this kind of desire for something, and sometimes we don't really create space for those kind of people, or by definition, they don't want to walk through a church door anymore. And so I think, you know, what would Jesus do? Well, Jesus would create space outside in the margins where people are, where they can belong, before maybe they believe or before they, are part of a club or the church, you know? And so we've tried to create these spaces, in a non-threatening, environment, in a pub where we have some live music, we have some talks, some reading stories, And it's non-threatening and it's easy, but it's a low bar for relationship and building community among a growing constituency, I think, of people who are just looking for something. They're looking for faith, but they don't know how. And so, I think we need to create kind of more of these kind of spaces. So,
you know,
that's what we're trying to do.
It's funny, as you describe it, you think to yourself, well, first of all, that is exactly what Jesus did, because he went straight out. He goes into the liminal space. He goes into the place that's in the overlap between, between what is considered to be spiritual and what is, and oftentimes even straight into the heart of what might have been considered darkness. You've got him, you've got some of the people, even the way we think of our Celtic ancestors going out into the highways and byways and not expecting people to come to church. So you've been doing this for at a kind of monthly events. I mean, what's the response been like so far?
Yeah, I mean, we're just getting some really good responses. I mean, anecdotally, I could tell you about a woman who is, in her 60s, who said, if I had met you 50 years ago, my life would have been very different. I hate the church. I hated the church. I hate God. I don't really understand what you're doing, but I like it. And I want to be part of this. Other people have come, who are very strong atheists who like what we're doing. Other people who are very strong Christians but have been really disappointed by an experience in church. And they say, we cannot go through the door of a church right now, but we like what you're doing. And in a sense, what we're doing is we're not taking up an offering at these events. We're not employing anyone. You know, so we're trying to make it a low bar for membership. You know, nobody needs to kind of start paying me money to be there, you know.
Yeah, just very good.
Come and be part of something, you know.
Yeah, I remember myself in our own days with Emmaus, you know, we always used to pay to do our own outreach, and that's probably the way to do it, isn't it?
It is. I mean, it's not great for your career prospects, but it's a better way to do it. You know?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just wondering, how do you format something like that? Like, what do you do that's going to, I mean, clearly, look, it's brilliant work, Johnny, and I'm thrilled that you're doing it, and it sounds like you're getting a bit of traction doing it too, which is brilliant. But how do you go about formatting, say, an evening or an event? What do you discuss? What way does it work?
Yeah, well, I think initially we're still, going, it's once a month. We're trying to make it an event where it's in a pub, so people are sitting around tables. There's an intermission where people can talk and they can stay afterwards. There's plenty of space for conversation. But in the actual event itself, we don't make it too much at this point discussion focused. That probably will change, but as we go. But initially, it's kind of more performance, musicians who are just playing their really high quality songs, some really good storytelling from people who have written out like an 8-minute story, and then a reflection. Today, I'm going to be interviewing Alan McBride, whose wife was killed in the Shankill Road bomb. And he's got a faith, but he's also journeyed through his own personal loss and reconciliation, and he's involved with victims here. So we're trying to create a space where people would sit in a pub and have a pint and listen and not feel they're going to have to do anything, because they're not really ready to do anything. They don't want to raise their voice just yet.
But in the intermission,
afterwards, there's plenty of space for conversation. So we're connected with a growing number of smaller groups who, you know, friends of mine, Dave and Jill Hines, have started to do a community meal in the South Belfast, Ballinafai area. And they're getting, you know, they'll get 50, 60 people coming from all kinds of backgrounds, cross-community, asylum seekers, who will come and have a meal. And that's like the next step. So the first step is a monthly event in a pub, which is high quality stuff. The second step is come and have a meal with a bunch of people and find a bit of a home and a community. And, you know, at some point, people may start venturing into more of an organized religious space. And maybe not, but we just need to be there for people. And I think there's a growing sense of loneliness as well, dislocation in the north here and throughout Europe. There's a growing polarization. You're kind of in or you're out. You're right wing, left wing, conservative, you know, liberal. This kind of binary way of looking at things is probably really not very helpful.
It's kind of defined.
It doesn't seem to be the way Jesus did things.
Increasingly, people defining themselves by what they're not rather than by what they are, which is such a negative thing.
Exactly.
I was going to ask you, sometimes we're encouraged, and I know your background might be similar in some ways to mine, not from a religious point of view, but just in terms of training and all the rest. A lot of the time when we go to do outreach and evangelism, we're kind of encouraged to kind of go for the kind of low-hanging fruit, the people who are kind of on the cusp, almost there. Now, this is exactly the opposite of that. This is you're going really, really going, to the kind of the extremes. Yeah. What was it that led you to do that?
I think it was just meeting lots of people and becoming friends with people who would never have dreamed of walking through a church door. But they kind of really loved what we do. You know, we run the center on Coon and Ross Trevor. We run events and there's community fairs and singing groups and, craft fairs, whatever, open mic nights. People coming through our doors all the time who don't have much faith, and they kind of love it. And they kind of, can we have some more of this? And I realize in a big city like Belfast, there's loads and loads of people who are leaving church, sadly. You know, I mean, there's loads of people going to church too. There's a lot of good news stories.
Sure.
But there is some disappointment out there. And in my conversations with people, I just realized there's people hungry for a space to be and to gather. We prayer in the middle of it. We got it from Coventry Cathedral, where it's just a real prayer of saying, Father, forgive. So we do that. That's the only kind of real participatory kind of act we do in this event. I think that's an important part of it. But we are trying to find people who would be really at the fringes of it. They just wouldn't dare going into a church context. And
That's brilliant.
Yeah, we're making a start, and I think there's room for more people to do that kind of thing all over the place.
I'd love if you could fire us down that prayer. It'd be lovely just to have a read of it. It'd be great. Listen, you've an event on tonight, marking the night of the UK election. God bless you all. We'll be thinking of you. And fun and games around that too. But could you just give us an idea of where it's going to be and what the focus is this evening?
Yeah, it's going to be in the Errigal Inn, which is on the Ormond Road in South Belfast. It's going to be from 7:30. We'll start with a couple of songs from one of our community members, Scott Sotomayor. Then Paul Hutchinson, who used to lead the Corrymeela community, is going to do a reading from his latest book. Carantini is going to play a couple of songs. And then Jen Clark is going to tell a story. We have an intermission, and then myself and Alan McBride will have a conversation about the aftermath of the Shankill bomb and reconciliation the night before an election. And then we'll finish with Nalani, the Children of the Sands family, doing a wonderful little set of Irish music and Christmas carols in the Irish language. And it'll be brilliant. So
I want to go. I want to go.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry I can't make it, but it's such
You can find it on Facebook, Borderlands events and stuff like that.
So Borderlands event. Yeah, brilliant, on Facebook. And there was a little drop in the quality of the phone line. I want to say it's at the Errigal Inn on the Ormo Road in South Belfast tonight, Wednesday the 11th of December at 7:30 p.m. Johnny Clark from Youth of the Mission, thank you so much for talking to us today.
Okay.
God bless
you.
Thank you so much, Ron. Our Prayer Coach series continues today. It's where we talk about spiritual health and how we get better at praying and getting close to God. And this morning we're delighted to have back in studio Pastor Noel Kenny from Liberty Church in Dublin City, and we're going to talk about intimacy with God. You're very welcome back to the show, Noel. How are you, man?
Thank you. Everything is well, thank you.
Yeah, great. First of all, Noel, how have you been?
I've been really good, actually. This has been a great year. I was in with you earlier.
Yeah, that's right.
This year.
Yeah,
and this year has continued. Not without its challenges, but like, we're blessed in the midst of it all. Like, really, really, really amazed. Yeah, just the goodness of God.
Well, praise God for that. One of the things that I love, and I was delighted that we were having you at Christmas time, because I know you guys do amazing things at Christmas. Right, and I'd love you to tell the listeners about the things that you do, you know, for the people around your area in Liberty Church come Christmas.
Yeah, so like, well, the topic today is like intimacy with God, and I think, you know, things that are lasting will come out of that place that reflect the heart of God. And the great big giveaway is what we call it. And that was birthed today of actually John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It was the greatest giveaway of all, was God's son. And so out of that, like, 1 year, like, I just knew people. Well, it's going back 25 years when I used to have a friend who I became a friend with, a baker. And every day at the end of business, he'd leave all the unsold bread out for me.
Wow.
And I'd bring it home. This was like 1990. Bring it home, me and my daughter Patrice, who was only 5 or 6 at the time, would pack it and give it to people that had need. And like, I used to say, Lord, why didn't you give me a banker, like, instead of a baker? And at the end of the day, I'd get like the money on them. But I took what God gave me. And out of that, like, just this great big giveaway started, where what we do, what we're up to now actually is that we, on the 24th of December, we will give out 1,500 food hampers.
Wow.
That feed a family of 4 for 5 days over the Christmas.
1,500.
So it'll be like 30,000 like hot meals put on plates
that
this Christmas.
Is mad, no.
And
God bless your faithfulness. That is mad.
Yeah, it is crazy. Yeah, it is crazy. And I tell you what, we could go to 2,000 easy, and the need is there. It's crazy.
Oh,
I think
this
gets better for some people. It gets worse than them. And so like, next week, well, we've been quartering food the whole while over this last 4 weeks, and I've lifted 4,000 tins of peas with these, me and another little boy with these little pasta hands, you know. And we just keep accumulating it, and then next week I do a big shop in Aldi, like, probably buy 1,500 tins of beans and 100 pastas. And then next Wednesday we start what we call the great big pack, which is packing them. And then next Saturday is the giveaway, where we will have an army of people come and collect hampers and deliver them all over Dublin. Have a great Christmas.
And you know, and the witness of that, the kindness of that,
exactly.
You know, and because a lot of the time when we're talking about God, people immediately get onto, you know, they get onto ethics and morals, and they forget that our God is the kindest person they'll ever
meet. Yeah, and this there's no strings attached with this. There's no literature. There's no big invitation to our church or any church. It's just is what it is. Have a better Christmas. Have a blessed Christmas. We're able to give, and we want to give. And what we're really one of the, like, sort of, if there's a goal behind it, it's just to change, like, a mentality to generosity. Look at these people give to me without any strings. Maybe I could give something to someone else without any strings.
And you know, to be honest, I know we're going to get on to intimacy with God in a minute, but to me there's something very, very inspiring in that, Noel, and I just have to just give you credit for that, because the reality is, you know, in that kind of, as you say, from a heart of intimacy with God, you understand God is kind, you then want to be kind to others, and this has just grown and grown and grown. And I know what you're saying, the need is greater every year, and the need is very great at the moment with the homelessness and all the other bits and pieces that are going on around. But the reality that somehow in the middle of that, people, just a couple of people saying yes to God,
exactly,
can make that happen.
Yeah, and the beauty, like, so we always get people like saying to me, like, stuff like, Noel, Like the cat died, the budgie ran away, you know, can I have a hamper? And I'm like, no, you don't have to do that with us.
Yeah.
Do you need a hamper? Yes.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to bless you with one.
Yeah.
And it's that, like, you know, so that's people from all walks of life. Like, I remember a couple coming back after delivering 2 years ago to a big house where the wife said to the husband, we're not putting a hamper in that house. Look at this house. Mm. And the husband says, Noel says, wherever there's a ticket, there's a hamper. Mm. So they brought her in and there was no food in the press.
Yeah.
And she walked out saying, I will never judge a book by the cover again, because we don't know what's behind doors and what mortgages have to be paid. And so, like, we've been able to bless people that are living in hotels with their little kids, and we've also been able to be a blessing to somebody that has, like, a house but are stuck, you know.
Can't put
so
the heat on.
In the midst of it all, that there's this, yeah, there is this people that if I wanted to communicate anything to an individual or a family, I want to just say, if we call it love in a bag. So in the house, this is love in a bag, you know. When I go to the team, this is not a tin of beans, that's love
in a bag,
because somebody is going to receive that.
Brilliant.
And if I could say that to an individual or a family that was receiving, I would just say, if you only knew all the people that involved in this process of getting this hamper to you, the people that donate money, the people that give me food, Cross Care, who helped me get food, you know, like, from other places, and they give it to us really cheap, and like Food Cloud, and like then the guys that pick up that food and handball that food into lockups, and people that collect money, people that give offerings in our church that for this, the people that pack it, the people that deliver it.
It's like an army of people.
Yeah,
isn't
and
it?
All of that to say to one person or a family, you're not forgotten.
Yeah.
That there's somebody out there that you might never meet that loved enough to actually allow this expression of God's heart to be seen.
Beautiful. Now, one of your heroes died this week.
Yes.
Reinhard.
Well, Reinhard is like this German evangelist that God called him to Africa as a missionary. And on the 22nd of March 1989, a Tuesday evening, 9:40 in the National Stadium, as a 22-year-old young broken man, I heard him speak. And I said, God, you can have my life. And for the last 30 years, that's the way I've tried my everything to live for God. And I've watched Reinhard over the years, you know. And I met him once. And anyway, that's another story in itself. But the crazy thing is this. Reinhard started his whole ministry in a little country in the middle of South Africa called Lesotho. And he was there, and he says in his book that the Holy Spirit said to him, would you believe for $1 million for your ministry in Lesotho? And he says, Lord, I'd rather believe for 1 million souls to come to know Jesus. So all these years, that's where he started, it's documented. But all these years later, Noel and Sharon, me and my wife, give us our heart to Jesus in the stadium that night after listening to this man, never being church people before or anything. But now we have a missionary couple sent from our church 2 years ago to Lesotho, where we're building homes for vulnerable orphans. We have 4 homes. My son-in-law Rob spoke on this program. 4 homes. We've now 13 little kids in that have been rescued from places, and now we started a church there because these people never heard about the gospel. They never responded, have had any reason to respond to the gospel. Now we have a church there.
Amazing.
And we can't help but think that somehow that God's tremendous tapestry around the world, that he links just Reinhard's name with us.
It's beautiful
that we heard
him,
and then we help fulfill some of the prayer that he prayed all those years ago. And I'm like, how can you make this stuff up, bro?
Amazing. And you know what, one of the things I love as well, nobody gets to be powerful all the time, you know. We all get to have our weakness moments. We have our weak moments, and somebody comes to evangelize me, and then I in turn go back to their place and evangelize them. Nobody gets to be we're the great big strong Christian nation here, you know. So I love that. That's real God, isn't it?
And they reckon like mainly in Africa, at one meeting 1.6 million people turned up in Nigeria to a meeting.
Whoa.
And imagine sort of the logistics of that, but they reckon he led between 77 and 79 million people into a personal relationship with Jesus. And
just, yeah. So there's your million souls. Wow, that's amazing. So we're talking about intimacy with God. And, you know, is that something, you know, oh yeah, by the way, just had an anonymous caller thanking Noel and Sharon for blessing and helping their family through the challenging time in the 1990s.
Wow.
So there you go.
Wow.
And that, you know, that's we're going 20 years back on that. And wow. It's still in their heart. So just think about that. Amazing. So we're talking about intimacy with God. Is that something anyone can aspire to, do you think?
Oh my goodness. Like John 17:3, Jesus says, "This is eternal life, that you may know God and Jesus Christ whom he sent." And that word "know" is deeply intimate in experience. So this eternal life, Jesus is saying, is not when we get to heaven, although that's a whole other ball game there.
Absolutely.
But he says, but he's pointing to this moment, it
starts
this day,
now. Yeah, yeah.
That this is that you may know God intimately and experientially, and Jesus whom he sent, like the Messiah. And so, like John 3:16, it's for everyone and anyone that wants to know him. I always say that I can know God as much as I want to know him. It's down to my end of my...
It's like we're pushing the door in.
Commitment.
Yeah. He's not pushing our door in, we're pushing his door
in.
Yeah,
so what does that really look good. Like? For me, like, at the beginning of this year, I never used this word before, but I felt like from God I had a mandate. And the mandate was this, to say to people. Like, so as a pastor, you can imagine the things that's locked up in this little life of people's lives, brokenness, sin, failure, successes, that all the things that you carry. And sometimes as a pastor, you feel you have to have all the answers, and that you're, and sometimes people think you're the fountain of all wisdom and knowledge.
Of course, it's a lot of pressure, man.
Yeah, and so so I felt this year the Lord saying, here's a mandate, Noel. If someone comes to you, listen to them. But here's what you have to do: you have to say, no, I want you to go and talk to Jesus about it, because my role is to push people towards relationship, not to become the middleman in the relationship. And the promise of Jesus to me was this, that if anyone goes, just sit in your room, just walk along the road, wherever, and just say, Jesus, here I am. He promised that he'd meet us there. And he's true to his word. So it's for everyone in any place, anywhere, any time, because he's that type of father.
So for someone who doesn't experience intimacy with God, and there are many, let's be honest, right? And you're coming in and you're saying, it's available, it's possible, you can have it. What do you say to them? How do you get that across?
Well, you know, I just during the summer, I was speaking at a conference and I was driving up and I was like, Lord, like, I know what I want or I feel you want to say, but how do I say this? So I end up at this conference and I was like, so I said to these, there was probably 300 people there it was like a seminar in my head, but there could have been 100, right? So I'll give myself a bit of room for elasticating some numbers. But there was a lot of people there. And I says, like, when I say the word church, I said to the people, what does your friends say? What does people say? And whatever. And I didn't solicit any positive or negatives. I just said that. And the amount of negativity that came, like, well, you know, one woman rhymed off 5 things people say. And I'm like, miss, you're a professional at this. Like, you're like a plant in the room here.
Yeah.
But, and I think in some way we've not, in church history I'm talking about, we've not done well. We've not done that word well. But God has also, in his word, also given us other words to describe what we are. And one of them is the bride of Christ. And so, like, if we've messed up this, well, then the bride is a whole different picture. The bride is beautiful. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit's job is to cleanse us and to work out blemishes and spots and wrinkles so that we are this beautiful bride that Jesus will come to get.
Sorry.
But what's bride about? Bride and bridegroom is all about romance.
Very good.
And he wants to romance us. He wants to be that intimate with us, that he is the lover of our souls. And I was in the airport the day before going up to this seminar. And this conference, and I was in the airport waiting on someone to come out. There's loads of people there. Next minute, like, this young woman runs out of the crowd, which I didn't see her because I'm usually good at, you know, looking at crowds. But this young woman, long hair, lovely dress on her, I think it was green, a pair of high heels, and she's making all this noise, clapping, running, and she jumps into the arm. She's an Irish girl, and she jumps into the arm of this 6'4" American cowboy with a cowboy hat coming out of the arrivals. And like he held her, and she looked. He still had his hat on, and she was looking up into his face. And like about a minute passed, which was a long time. And I was like, "Oh, come on!" Still there 5 minutes later. Still there 10 minutes later. And she's just gazing. And every now and then he'd kiss her forehead. And it was like his hat was covering her. And I was going up to that seminar the next day that I thought of it again. I was like, "That's the relationship Jesus wants for us." Because whoever we gaze upon is who we reflect.
Yeah.
And if we reflect upon the bridegroom, well then his nature, character will be what we reflect to the earth. Because this girl was beaming. And then we can win back some of the stuff that we've given away with the word church type of thing.
Exactly.
So how, it's like, I don't know, I would say to somebody, when I gave my heart to Jesus in 1989, I didn't get converted, didn't join another religion, didn't go, I fell in love with God. Yeah. And I don't know how that happened, because I wasn't a lover of God. And that romance excitement has been there ever since.
Like, because he romanced you? Because the reality is, you know, it was like him gazing at us, gazing back at him, gazing at us.
Exactly.
And it just goes, and it's just such a beautiful and intimate, actually. It is an intimate picture. Pastor Noel Kenny from Liberty Church, we could go on talking all day, as always, but we must finish it here. Thank you so much for speaking to us.
Thanks for having me. God bless everybody.
Thank you. And our Prayer Coach series will be continuing each Wednesday shortly after 11 a.m, where we will be talking to various people who can give us tips and ideas on looking after our spiritual health. Now, we spend a lot of our time going indoors and outdoors this time of year, from the warmth to the cold, from the dry to the damp to whatever. And I've certainly noticed some red-looking cold noses out there. It's certainly not a particularly skin-friendly season. And in studio now to chat to us about caring for our skin during the winter months, we have an old friend of ours, wellness therapist, Tara O'Rourke. How are you doing, Tara?
Hello, great to be back.
Good to see you, yeah. You're very welcome. So, first of all, Tara, what is happening to our skin at this time of year?
Yeah, so there's a variety of things. Obviously we're cocooning a little bit more, so we're indoors quite a lot, just naturally avoiding the elements. So central heating is on. I mean, if you're driving in a car, you probably have your car heated on your feet.
Yeah, is that right?
So
it's really dry. It's
dry. And then externally, I mean, you have the elements.
Yeah.
So you have the wind, the rain. But what I'd say is it's really important to get outside. Even though there is the wind and the rain, for your skin, you really see the benefit in the skin when you get movement into the body, when you get out into the air, get out in nature. So really, my advice is don't avoid going out. You know, still get movement through the body. Your lymphatic system really needs that movement through it as
Very
well.
Good.
It's like an inner cleanse.
That's because when you're sending a lot of blood around, that's doing quite a lot too, isn't it?
It's
nourishing
and stuff. Of the skin. The skin is the largest organ of the body. It's the
last organ.
The last organ to receive nutrients.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
So it's really important.
So it's really important to nourish yourself really well this time of year as well. So it's not just about what you put onto your skin. It's also about how you get movement through the body. And this time of year, I mean, you could be going from getting up in the morning. You could be going onto the bus, public transport, into a car, into the office, maybe to the gym, back to, you know, home. So you're getting very little air.
That's
really good for the skin. And the quality of air, I mean, is so topical at the moment as well.
Right. Yeah, so like I take your point. You're inside. That air has already been dry. It's been pre-dried for you, you know, mostly.
Yes.
And in the car, absolutely. And you're talking about most cars now have air conditioners. And, you know, it's like it takes... We're used to such a level. I didn't realise until I ended up travelling that we're used to such a level of moisture in the air here.
Yes.
And actually, I presume that's good, is it?
It is good.
Yeah,
it is good.
But so what do we need to be wary of? Obviously you're talking about from changing, but are we talking about needing to make sure that we have, I presume you said to me the last time, diet would be a big thing.
Yeah, so if you think about it, I always say your sacred three. So there's diet, lifestyle, and what you use on your skin. So think of those three things. If you can get a really nice combination of those three things, so it's not just diet in isolation, it's not just lifestyle in isolation, and it's not just skincare in isolation. If you can bring the three of those together, and I'm really all about balance and not, you know, preaching to people about it. It's getting a simple skincare routine with really good botanicals. They have a good source of botanicals. They're organic. They're certified organic, and also your diet is hugely important, obviously, always. But it's having a nice balance. I mean, having your little treats, you know, at the weekend, but really nourishing. So how you nourish yourself has an impact on your skin.
So talking about diet, do you need even more water?
Well, think about this time of year. Like in the summer, you're naturally drawn to drinking water. In the winter, you don't.
That's right.
Just naturally, because you probably feel like you don't need to, but you really do need like your 2 litres of water a day. Like what I say to clients as well and customers is put a few slices of lemon in your water, like organic lemon.
Yeah.
Maybe a few slices of cucumber. So you really get that inner cleanse going on in the skin. Hot water and lemon is really nice and refreshing, and it's very good for the skin.
Yeah.
Organic juicing. So you might have a NutriBullet or something at home. You know, throw your berries in, your rich in antioxidant berries in there, get your avocados in there, drink it first thing in the morning or around lunchtime. So you're getting a lot of the nutrients in, so you have a really good skin. And then where you meet the inner, so there's an inner beauty, I call it, and an outer beauty. So you're getting both, the combination of the two, and you really have radiant skin. It's not just about procedures, glycolic peels, microdermabrasions, like none of that works.
Sounds horrible.
It's awful. And it strips your skin. The most important thing you can do for your skin this time of year as well is protect the hydrolipid mantle, which is this protective layer you have in your skin and protects you from pollution, environmental influence, heating. So keep that intact with a really good cleanser every day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's really interesting. So that's, I was immediately going, is that a moisturiser you're talking about? But you're talking about keeping it clean.
How you clean, like the Dr. Hauschka Cleansing Cream has sweet almond meal in it.
I was just saying earlier on to Tara, just for the listeners, I do nothing with my skin, and I was putting it on going, oh, this is lovely.
So it's a really gentle cleanser. It's not a scrub. And what it does is it just gently lifts away dead skin, which is important to do excess oil, dirt particles from your day. Finish your cleansing with a nice splash of the toner, which has witch hazel, nasturtium, everything in it. And then for the guys, so don't forget about the men, there's a really nice beard oil we have, which is the clarifying day oil, which is ideally for acne, but also doubles up as a beard oil for men.
Brilliant.
So keeping that grooming quality to the beard and keeping it clean as well at the same time.
I do have a beard at the moment, I'll tell you, folks. And it's just,
I know.
You know, that's right. So look, we've spoken about the diet, and we're talking about what you use in your skin. What does lifestyle mean?
Yeah, so like I'm a big fan of just getting out in nature. Like you see, like I'm so privileged to live where I live, and I see the Brent geese this time of year.
Yeah, stunning.
Like be connecting. Like we're so far removed from that connection with, I mean, we're being pulled away from it every day.
Aren't we? Yeah.
So that connection with nature, connecting with one another, just getting outside, going for a really nice walk. If you can get out to a park, or, you know, hill walking is so good this time of year as well on a day like today.
Bracing. Yeah. Beautiful.
But I mean, if you are in work, you know, I have a sister who's a busy mother with 3 kids, you know, she doesn't get time every day to get out for a walk. So a good yoga class.
Yeah.
You know, getting maybe a mindful meditation class, practice at home.
And can I ask you about sleep? Because that is really a thing that, and you know, it's funny, one of the things that I really associate with Christmas is there's so little light anyway. I gotta go, Asher, we might as well stay up half the night. And a lot of people do this, they stay up half the night and go, Asher, there's no light to be had anyway. And you get really miserable actually after a few weeks of it, you know.
So a day like today, where there's that lovely light, try and get 15 minutes of that into your bones.
Yeah.
You know, really good for vitamin D.
Even 15 minutes.
15 minutes, really good.
Wow.
And then, for sleep is really important, obviously, for the quality of your skin, for the radiance of your skin. What I really advise people to do is, like, at least an hour before bedtime to do a proper wind down. Now, that could mean, like, you can lie on the floor, do a few gentle movements, stretches.
Yeah.
Just bring awareness to your breath. Yeah. There's loads of, like, meditation apps you can listen to. There's loads of lovely podcasts.
Yeah, the mindfulness app is lovely as well. Just as you say, concentrating on just the breath going in and out. It's lovely, you know, just really.
But it's good to feel bored because boredom brings that stillness and eventually like that creativity and just encourages a really good night's sleep as well.
So listen, you have a couple of Dr. Hauschka products to recommend, but I have something in my hand here
that's
and it's
quite
called
seasonal.
Spruce warming bath essence.
Spruce warming bath essence. It's full. Gorgeous. It's lovely, isn't it? It's pine, so it's Norwegian pine. Now that is for your bath, but you can also double up and use it as a foot bath. You can also use it as a facial cleanse. So
you know, it's really funny. You know that smell? It's a smell of, and it's so badly abused. You know that kind of because yes. It's used in magic tree and it's used in detergents and all the rest. But when you actually, when you smell the real thing, it's gorgeous.
Yeah. So the spruce is really warm. It's very good for also to bathe in the spruce bath essence if you have bronchial issues.
I was about to say.
So it encourages breathing.
That would really clear out the old.
Yeah. The rose day cream, Ronan, is another one. I mean, the rose day cream is the cult product with Hauschka.
I actually remember you bringing it in before. It's beautiful, yeah.
And that has the shea butter in it, the protective rose oil.
And you put that in, that's for putting on moisturiser on the skin. Yeah,
so
absolutely.
That's a really good one this time of year for dry, sensitive skin, even eczema.
Right.
So very, very dry skin would benefit from a pea-sized amount of the rose day cream.
Yeah, that's right. That was the other thing I remember was a tiny amount, but actually it goes a long way.
Yeah.
So, we actually have a Hauschka hamper to give away, and I'm going to give some details on that later on. Is there any, we've already spoken actually about what men could look out for more with their skin. Are there things, again, going men, male, female?
Yeah.
You know, guys, generally, it's like, we're getting better, and I can see from even just the products that are there, you know. Do you think there's stuff that's specific to men that we need to look at that it wouldn't necessarily be an issue for them?
Yeah, I mean, with Dr. Hauschka, there isn't a specific men's skincare range because we treat the skin as it is, depending on the individual, taking into account their lifestyle, their diet, and, you know, what they're using currently. So for men, like, it is a fact, skin is a little bit thicker. You also have facial hair. So the beard oil would be the clarifying day oil. Also, like, the rose day cream is for a skin condition like dry, sensitive skin. The facial toner from Dr. Hauschka is an amazing aftershave.
Oh,
so it refines pores. It's so brightening for the skin. Think of it like a tonic, even for teenagers, like, you know, guys who are beginning kind of to shave and look after their skin like that.
Yeah, and all that crazy oiliness that goes on as well. The toner help with that?
The toner's really good. And, you know, like, practically, because I have a son, gym, you know, after school, if they're doing any kind of sports, the shower, the Dr. Hauschka shower cream, you can use it on your face.
Brilliant.
Like, any, because it has those antimicrobial properties, so you can use it on your face in the shower, really practical. Brilliant. And then spritz your toner over it.
Wow. That's really good.
Yeah.
And you're looking like an advert for yourself.
Oh, well,
looking
I'm trying to get the combination of the trio in, the sacred tree.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. So diet, lifestyle, and what you use on your skin. Remember that, folks? Those are what they are. Lovely to have you here, Tara.
Thank you.
It was great to talk to you again today. And I'm just going to let everybody know now, we do have a Hauschka hamper to give away to begin with a chance of winning this amazing hamper of Dr. Hauschka products worth €100 that will help care for your skin this winter or would make a lovely Christmas present. Text Hauschka with your name and county to 087-888-9292. I'm going to spell Hauschka for you, but you don't worry, we'll understand what you mean. It's Hauschka, right? Hauschka with your name and county to 087-888-9292 and to begin with a chance of winning this amazing hamper worth €100 that will help take care of your skin for this winter. Wellness therapist Tara O'Rourke, thank you so much for talking to us today.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.